الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we know, this is the first month of the Islamic calendar, New Year 1422. Mentioned last week, it began after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unlike other calendars, which have been said to start at the death of somebody or to start at the birth of an individual, the calendar of Islam began when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after preaching for approximately 13 years in Mecca and facing so much persecution and problems from his own relatives and the people of Mecca, Allah gave him the command to leave Mecca and go and make hijrah and to migrate towards Medina, where a number of people had already embraced Islam during their Hajj or during their yearly trips they would make to Mecca. And they had called and invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Muslims, saying that we will protect you, we will give you place, we will give you an abode to live in, and we will take care of you, come over. So when Allah gave the command, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began sending many sahaba, and many sahaba went discreetly, and very few went very openly, because the people of Mecca would try to stop them from migrating. Because they knew that if these Muslims, if these people who say that they worship this one God, and this Allah that they claim is the only Lord, and they get together in this place, Medina, then they will become a strength. They will become strong. The city will become theirs. They will be something to be reckoned with. Not like those people who are living in Mecca and we are able to persecute them because their law is in our hands. So they were very afraid of this. So for this reason, they tried to stop them. Only a few of the Sahaba were able to go very openly. For instance, Umar radiallahu anhu was one of them that actually went into the haram before he was about to leave, and he made salat there, and then he announced that, "I am about to leave." He got to the edge of Mecca and he turned around and he said that, "Who wants his children orphaned? And who wants his wife to become a widow? And who wants his mother to cry over a lost child? Come and try to stop me." And he went with this dignity, he went to Medina. But many of the others had to go discreetly because of their weakness. Once they got to Medina, and this happened approximately 1422 years ago. And today, during this month, if nothing else, inshallah we fasted on the 10th of the month, which was probably on Wednesday and Thursday. But looking back, 1420 years ago, we see the striving, we see the effort that the Sahaba put in to try to protect their deen, to try to protect the Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How they tried to protect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Abu Bakr would try to sacrifice himself, but let not a hair be burnt, or let a hair become defective on the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the case of all the Sahaba. It is said about one of the Sahaba that was defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud. He kept the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind him. And every time an arrow came towards them, he would put out his hand and his palm to have the arrow caught on there if he was not able to get it on his shield. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to peek out from behind to see what was taking place, he would usher the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back and he would keep him covered, thinking and only this intention in mind, that if I am to die, then there is no loss. But if the Prophet is to die, then the whole of Islam will be lost, and there will be no Islam in America today. We will not be proud to be Muslims today. We may be in some other form of ignorance. Wallahu alam, doing whatever we are doing. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are able to gain the knowledge of Islam and to practice this religion today. 1422 years ago, this is what took place. Before this, in the beginning, what was the state of the Arabs at that time? Many years before that, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, before he began his preaching, before Allah turned the hearts of people and totally transformed them into new beings, what was the state of the Arabs? If you look at any book of history, it will describe that state, it will describe that time as the time of ignorance, of jahiliyyah, asrul jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. And the people on the Jaziratul Arab were probably the most ignorant people of that time. All they knew was warfare. It was the sword that commanded everything. It was the one with the most courage that was able to knock off the most heads, that was the leader of the group, that was leader of the tribe. If one person was killed from the Aus tribe or the Khazraj tribe of Medina, then the other tribe, the son of the person killed, would come and kill the murderer. And then that person's child would kill them, and wars would continuously take place for over 100 years. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, it was he that managed to transform them. Later on, only less than 23 years later on, you see that 124,000 sahaba are gathered with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hajj. 124,000 totally transformed people, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked on their hearts. And the Quran had to say in Surah Al-Hashr, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Muslims to be three groups. All of us are included. We become part of one of these three groups. The first group is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with, saying that for those poor, fuqara, for those poor muhajireen, al-fuqara al-muhajireen, those poor muhajirs from Makkah to Medina, this is referring only to the Muslims of Makkah that embraced Islam on the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they emigrated to Medina. This is only referring to that group, and it refers to them in the beginning. And it calls them poor. Yet we know, and we should know, that while they were in Makkah, they were landowners. These people that had embraced Islam with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thrown away all the idols that the other people worshipped and that they used to worship, these people were landowners. These people had friends. These people had loved ones in Makkah. But when the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came that you must migrate, they left everything. They abandoned their houses. They abandoned their fields and their crops and all the other wealth, their animals, whatever they may have. And they went with the bare essentials and went to Medina. So that's why the Quran now refers to them as fuqara, as faqir, as poor people. Although they were in reality not poor, but now they had become poor and they had done this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, who have been evicted and thrown out of their lands. And that's literally what had happened. They were persecuted to such an extreme that they had to leave. وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ, and they were also thrown out and forced to abandon their wealth. But why did they do this? They did not do this so that they could gain something worldly, which was greater and more in abundance in Medina. It is not like a person who is, mashallah, I've heard this many times in different countries, whether it be in Jordan, Syria, India or Pakistan, even in Arabia and in other countries, you find people say, how is America? What do you think I can do there? They're already making a wonderful living wherever they are. But because the TV and all the media portrays America to be some form of Jannah, paradise, they want to come over. Although they are totally at ease, they're not under any problems, they have a good business, they have a good place of living. These same people, they ask about America or England. Can we come there? How easy is it? What is the way to get a visa? And so on. That's for a worldly thing. They're not trying to run away from anything. They're just trying to get something better. But these people abandon everything. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. And this is what the Quran says. For the sake of seeking the fadl, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرِضْوَانًا, and His pleasure. So Allah would be pleased with them, because they knew that if Allah is pleased with them and His grace turns towards them, then there is nothing that they need from this earth. Allah will provide everything for them. Allah will be totally sufficient for them. So this is يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, the Quran says. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and to assist Allah and His Messenger in the cause that they had of Islam. If they were to remain in Mecca, they may have been persecuted and then murdered and killed. But these people with their strong iman would be able to help the strength of Islam and would be able to assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So this was one of their intentions. And then the Quran gives them a perfect certificate saying, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, that these are the most truthful ones. These are the truthful ones. And truthful here, as the Mufassireen say, Qurtubi, Ibn al-Juzay, Ibn al-Kathir, etc., they say truthful here just doesn't mean in word and in statement and verbally, but it actually means in amal, in practice as well, that they proved to Allah and they were totally confirming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what they had promised in action as well as verbally. So, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. And then, this is the end of the praise of the first group of people. We can't be from them, obviously, because we weren't in Mecca at the time. We weren't forced to migrate. Still, there is still another group that we can enter into. And there is only these three groups. Number two, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those who made Medina Munawwara, as their abode, their living quarters, their homeland, wal iman, and they made iman close to their hearts. They made ikhlas, and they were sincere in their faith. That's what it means. Because you can't make iman your house. So the literal translation would be, who made iman their house, just as they made Medina Munawwara their house, or their abode, or their homeland. So there's something mahzuf there, there's something which we have to bring into the verse to make it meaningful. And the Mufassireen say it means they were sincere in their faith. So this is talking about the second group. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. These people loved those people who came and migrated towards them. This is talking about the Ansar, the people of Medina that had already embraced Islam and had invited all the Muslims to come. These same people of Medina were mainly of two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. And these were the same tribes that had been in war for over 100 years. Constant fighting for somebody that was murdered maybe 100 or 200 years ago. But these same people totally became transformed with the preaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That not only did they accommodate the second tribe, not only did the Aus accommodate Khazraj and the Khazraj accommodate Aus, but they also loved dearly from their hearts that these people who came from Makkah, the Muhajireen, the first group, come and live with them, and they love them from their hearts, and they've done this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not saying this, they were not saying this verbally, but this is what Allah says in the Quran. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they do not find any need or any form of hatred or jealousy about that which was given to the other group. Basically what happened here is, what it's trying to say here is, the people of Medina, the Ansar, did not feel bad when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give the Muhajireen something more than them, because the Muhajireen were poor. They didn't have anything. And what had happened was, going back slightly, when the Muhajireen came into Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined one Muhajir and one of the Ansar in brotherhood and said, you two are like brothers. This Ansari, what he would do is he would go home and split his home into two, put a curtain in between or whatever, and say, okay, now you can remain in this place. If he had a field in which he would grow crops and sell them, then he gave him half of his crops, that you go and you feed your family and you feed yourself from what profit you gain from that half. Half they gave them. Now imagine doing that, to accommodate somebody in such a way, not to just give them one room on the side, but to actually give them half of your abode. It is said that the Ansar was so much in wanting of different muhajireen that sometimes there would be 5 muhajirs which one of the Ansaris would want to stay by him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have to pick lots to pick one of them to be the person that would stay with him. Such was the love that they expressed. Later on, when the Banu Qaynuqa and the Banu Nadir, which were 2 of the tribes of Jews living in Medina, when they were dominated because of traitoring the Muslims, they were eventually dominated, and the booty that the Prophet ﷺ gained from them, he asked the Ansar. He said, "Do you want me to give this booty only to the Muhajirin because they don't have much? And then they will return to you whatever they have taken from you, and they will no longer remain in your house, and you will get back your full house. This is one option I give you." And he called Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, one of the leaders of Medina. He told him to gather all the people of Medina together, and he gave this khutbah in front of them, and then he put this proposal forward to them. The first option was this, that he gives the booty only to the Muhajireen, and then they should now leave everything that the people of Medina had given them. And the other option was, he would distribute this booty between the Muhajireen and the Ansar, but then the Muhajireen would continue to live with them. Immediately, I mean, you'd be surprised. There was no problem in taking the first option. Immediately, 2 of the leaders of the Aus and the Khazraj, one was the leader of Aus and one was the leader of the Khazraj, Sa'd ibn Ubadah and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, both of them got up immediately, sprung to their feet and said, "You can distribute the booty in them only. We don't want any part of it, and they can continue to live with us." And immediately all the rest of the Ansar got up, and they also expressed their happiness at this option that their leaders had taken. It wasn't that the leaders were only taking this option and the rest of the people hated this. They expressed their happiness and consent about what their leaders had said. So this continued. Now we have to also remember that when somebody gives us something, we need to always return good with good. It's a very bad habit, totally against akhlaq and any form of character, to keep taking and never to give back. And the Sahaba were always the ones with the best akhlaq at the time of Khaybar, when all the Muslims, because at the time of Khaybar, a lot of booty was gained and it was distributed in the Muslims to the fighters, and the Muhajireen, from the amount that they got, they went and repaid what the Ansar had given them from their hearts, and they said, "You must take this." وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. The Ansar do not find any malice or jealousy or bad feeling in their hearts that the Prophet gave all the booty of the Banu Qaynuqa and the Banu Nadir to the Muhajirin because they were more needy. They did not find any problem in their heart, and the Quran relates this. And then it says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Subhanallah. They will give priority to other people above themselves, even though they may be suffering the worst pangs of hunger and poverty. They would still give whatever they had to other people. Ibn Kathir, Qurtubi, all the Mufassirin have mentioned a number of incidents as to the reason why this portion of the verse may have been revealed, and mentioned a number of incidents taking place at the time of the Sahaba. One of the very popular and famous ones, which most of the Mufassirin mention, is that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached by a guest. A guest coming from out of town should be looked after, should be fed. This is akhlaq of any community. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message asking all of his wives, that, "Do you have anything in your house that I can send the guest to?" All of them said, "We only have water. We do not have anything. We don't have any wheat, barley, nothing. All we have is water." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the congregation of the Sahaba, "Does anybody have enough to feed a guest of mine, or will he take my guest?" One of the Sahaba said, "I will take him." He didn't know what he had in his house, but just tawakkul on Allah, with his faith in Allah, love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went home and he asked his wife. His wife said, "The only food I have is a small amount for the children. It's hardly enough for us to eat." He said, "No problem. Put the children to sleep somehow. And then put the food in front of the guest. I will be sitting with him. And then the lamp that was on the oil burner that they used to use, pretend to clean it up and put it off. And let us eat in darkness. I will not eat. And the guest will eat, and he will not feel that I am not eating." This is exactly what she done. The guest ate to his fill in the dark, and the Sahabi sat there and he waited for his guest to finish. The next day when he went into the majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this verse had already come down, and the Prophet knew exactly what had happened, and he praised him and he mentioned this verse to him. Another such incident, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sent 400 dinars, 400 gold pieces, to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, He sends it with a servant of his and he says that go and give this to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and then watch and observe what he does with this money. Send this as a gift. He went and he gave it to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. This is mentioned by Ibn al-Mubarak. This is also mentioned in many other books. He says that he observed after giving it to him and he saw that immediately he distributed these 400 dinars and gave it to different needy people and he left nothing by himself immediately at that point. These people were needy. It was not that they weren't needy, but this was just something. They knew there was great virtue defending in the path of Allah. They knew Allah would look after them. After that, when the servant came back and told it to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar gave him another 400 dinars and said, take this to Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, another great Sahabi. Mu'az ibn Jabal was also a very needy person. He didn't have much. When he gave him this, he done the same thing until there were 2 dinars left and his wife came in and said, aren't you leaving anything for us? We are also gharib. We are also miskeen. We are also poor. We are also worthy of this money. So he gave the last 2 dinars to his wife. When he came back to Umar, and Umar radiallahu anhu said that these are all brothers. They all are on the same nature. Yet these same people, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, none of the world wanted to know them. When Heraclius, the leader of Rome, when he found out that the Prophet has come in the Arabs, when he called Abu Sufyan and he asked him and he said that I knew from my books, I knew from the Bible and so on, that a new Prophet was meant to come, the last Prophet of mankind was meant to come, but I never thought it was going to be from you people. The Persians didn't want to know them. Nobody wanted to know them. They would bury their daughters alive. But in 23 years, such a change comes that يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And whoever is safeguarded from the greed, extreme greed, shuh is worse than bukhl, extreme greed. Whoever is preserved from that, then only those people are the successful ones. This is the end of the second group. We are not of those two. Everybody else comes into the third group or could aspire to come into the third group. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. Those that came after them, whether it was the rest of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, those that followed the Tabi'een, everybody until today, those that came after them, they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. O Allah, O our Rabb, O our Lord, bless us, forgive us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And also, forgive those of our brethren, those of our brothers who have passed before us on Iman, who are Muslims before us, all of them. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And please do not put into our hearts any malice, any hatred, any jealousy, or any ill feelings towards the people before us. If anybody has any ill feelings to the scholars of the past, to the Sahaba, to the Tabi'een, to the great Muslims of the past, then they cannot enter into this third category. Where will he go? Which category he will be in? Wallahu alam, because the Quran only mentions 3 categories. It is a wajib to respect all the good people of the past and not to harbor any ill feelings towards them. Inshallah, what lessons we derive from this, how the Sahaba came to this status where the Quran praises them in such high words, inshallah, we will have to discuss next week because we don't have enough time left. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.